Welcome to our class on Chassidus. We're going to be learning a beautiful Chassidic discourse from the Rebbe. The name of the Chassidic discourse is called Mayim Rabim. The Rebbe said this Chassidic discourse on Shabbos Parshas Toldos. That year was also the Shabbos that blessed the month of Kislev and the year Tavshin Yud Zayin, exactly 69 years ago. The Rebbe went on to certify and edit this Chassidic discourse in honor of the 10th day of the month of Kislev in that same year, Tavshin Yud Zayin. So again, the Chassidic discourse is based on the verse in the prophets from King Solomon's Song of Songs, where he says, "Mayim Rabim, an immense amount of water, lo yuchlu l'chabes ha'ava, cannot extinguish the love. When the horos, if you have streams of water, lo yishtafua, you can't flood the love. Im yitain ish es kol hayim beisai, you can give everything, all the different treasures and compliments, like all the commentaries say, ba'ava with love." It's not going to be considered of any value. What's really, really important is Ava. Ava has the power to create the greatest and deepest, longest standing, everlasting relationships. That's the verse from Shir HaShirim. So the Targum, and also in Medrash Rabbah and Rashi, they explain on this verse that Hashem says to the Jewish people that if all the nations of the world are going to gather, a multitude of nations, like the analogy of a lot of water, they cannot go ahead and extinguish, God forbid, the love that exists between Hashem and the Jewish people. And if all the nations of the world and the officers are going to gather together, in other words, which represents all the different waters that are running, they cannot go ahead, God forbid, and erase the Jewish people from the world. So A, the relationship can't be extinguished, and B, we ourselves won't be extinguished. If a person gives, the way the Medrash translates, all his treasures from his home, which means to give up everything, and your only purpose is to acquire Torah in exile, I'm going to pay back double in the world to come. And all the spoils from the war of the war of Goyg is going to be for the Jewish people. And it goes on to explain the next verse in Shir HaShirim, Achos le'aktana, the young sister. In other words, in that time, the angels are going to say, this one nation that we have in the world, a little nation, but nevertheless they have a lot of merits. And what are we going to do? What are we going to do to our young sister that when all the nations are going to speak about it to wage war? So comes along the angel, who's the officer, the angel that protects the Jewish people, and they're going to say, and he explains the verse, if they're not going to be a wall. In other words, if we stand strong like a wall, what does it mean we stand strong? So the Medrash says, we're not going to go into marriage. We're not going to do any intermarriage. But we're going to stand strong in our faith and in awe to acquire basically the oneness of Hashem. Then we will have a strong fortress, and the nations will not be able to conquer us or have any leadership over us. But sadly, if we're going to be weak, and in other words, unfortunately, we're going to be weak in doing the mitzvot, so then we're going to have to ask Hashem for compassion, and Hashem is going to remember the Torah that the children learned, which is written on their hearts. So that's the way the Medrash translates. In other words, the Medrash is saying is that we're talking about the Jewish people, that even though the nations want to destroy us, they want to wipe us out, they want to kill the relationship, and even God forbid, if we're weak, guess what? Hashem will be there for us because of the love that we have. And the Medrash finishes off and says, the nations of the world say, we sin. And what, the Jewish people don't sin? In other words, the young little sisters, Hashem says that just like Achos lanu haktana, we have a young sister. And just like when you have someone that's small and they sin, so the parents don't go ahead and scream at them. The same thing with the Jewish people. And he finishes off that against their will, they're going to be my nation. And like it says, God forbid, we're going to be like the nations of the world. But what is Hashem going to do? Hashem is going to say, even if we rebel, Hashem is going to be a king over us. So what do you see from here? You see, based on the Medrash, the tremendous love that Hashem has for the Jewish people. Rebbe says, we have to understand How is this medrash that talks about where we just need Hashem's compassion because we're not living in a high level? How does that jive together with the insight of the teaching that says on this verse of Mayim Rabim, the Chassidic insight? In other words, what is the Chassidic insight? And it's based on what it says in the Zohar, that what is the tremendous amount of water? That is referring to the meditation, that we meditate on the greatness of Hashem. And you realize Hashem is mamalika, He fills the whole world. Every part of every detail of the world, Hashem is there. And Soiv of Kalam, Hashem hovers over the world. Every part of the world, Hashem is there. And nothing is compared to Hashem. So we meditate, Hashem fills every part of the world, Hashem hovers over, and there's nothing that has any value compared to Hashem. What is that? That's the meditation of Shema Yisrael. And Baruch Shem Kvod Malchusei, which we say in Shema. And we have this meditation about the greatness of Hashem, and Mali Kalam, Soiv Kalam, and the way nothing is compared to Hashem, then we go to the Ahavta B'chol Levavcha, we have true love for Hashem, up to the level of B'chol Levavcha, B'chol Nashka, up to the level of B'chol Moitcha, which means what kind of love? Without any limit. And we're not going to be quiet, and there's nothing that can go ahead and starve that love with the tremendous meditation, which is coming from the meditation, and knowing that. And that whatever level it is, we know one thing is that even the great level, that is not going to take away our love, and the streams is not going to drown us. What is the stream referring to? It's referring to the revelation of the Garden of Eden, like it says that the Nahar Yotze Mi Eden, that from the Garden of Eden there's a stream coming through that's coming to irrigate the garden. And what does that mean? That even though that the revelation in the Garden of Eden is a very, very high revelation. And there's many, many levels, infinite levels. And like it says in the books, in reference to the garden, there's two levels of Gan Eden HaTachton, the lower level of Garden of Eden, and the higher level of Gan Eden HaElyon. And like it says clearly that a Torah scholar doesn't have any rest. Why? Because you're going from one level to the next level, but nevertheless, in the Horoi Sloish Tefua, what does that mean? That even these high levels that exist in the lower level of Gan Eden, the higher level of Gan Eden, cannot go ahead and satiate the thirst. What does that mean? What do we really want? What we really want is learning Torah and doing mitzvah specifically. And that's why he says a person gives all his treasures with Ava. And what kind of love is referring to? Love for Hashem. And knows when he does it all, he does it with what? With learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. And then he's going to have all the spoils, all the treasures, and because he has a tremendous yearning to focus on learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. And like it says clearly in Chazal, that the world that we're in, that we're leaving from, before you leave, chatoifa achol chatoifa shti, which means grab, eat something, learn more Torah, chatoifa shti, do another mitzvah. Why? Because specifically, and only by learning Torah and doing mitzvahs, could you quench the thirst, which is even higher than the nahar, the flowing, and the stream. And like it says that he went down to the stream and fill up the pitcher. And so it says he went down and kada, the pitcher in Hebrew is kada. Kada is an expression of chav dalet, 22. Hey, it's 24 holy books, which is going to be revealed in the future. And like it says clearly, Amayim Beis Hashem Yatsa, that the springs are going to come out from the house of Hashem. Now, even though we don't have it today in a revealed way, but nevertheless, we can still learn Torah and do mitzvahs, and that's what will give us the ability to quench our thirst. So in other words, according to this insight of the Zohar, he speaks about what level of Jewish people, a very high level, and a love that we have for God, and it's very, very great, that even the great revelations of the Garden of Eden, the lower level, the higher level, that's not going to satiate us. But we want to have the real connection of learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. So according to Zohar, we're a very, very high level. But according to the first incident that we learned from the Targum and the Medrash, it's referring to the Jewish people on a very low level. Achayis lanu aktana. We don't have that many merits. and unfortunately we're sinning, and the nations of the world want to basically say that us and the nations are the same thing. So how do the two go together? So the truth is, both insights, the Targum and the Medrash says we're in a low level, or the Zohar that we're on a very high level, that we just, nothing's going to satiate only our real relationship of Torah and mitzvahs, they're not a contradiction, but they actually, each one supports the other one. Okay, so how are we going to go ahead and see how they each support each other? First thing to understand is, we're going to bring in a teaching from Chazal that's brought down in the Talmud of Brachot, and it says over there as follows. Hashem says, you have made me, Atem asesuni chativa achas b'olam, you made me one in the world. And I'm going to make you one in the world. What does that mean practically? So the Talmud says like this. You made me one in the world because he said, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. We're saying we have one God. And I'm going to make you one in the world because God says, Mi Ka'amcha Yisrael, who's like the Jewish people, Goyachim, one nation. So by both of them, it says Echad. We're saying Hashem Echad is one God. And Hashem says we're one nation. That's what the Talmud says. Now, when we say there's one, what does that mean? So he's going to give three different insights what means one. So the Medrash explains, when we say one, so the Medrash says that there's one and there's nothing like it. So the question is, what does that mean? You're praising Hashem that he's one and there's nothing like it? Is there even like a thought that there's something like it and you have to say there's nothing like it? So what does it mean when the Medrash says? So again, the first insight, what does it mean one? There's one, there's nothing like it. But the question is, what does that mean? Why would I think there's something like it that I have to say there's nothing like it? Another insight in one, like, so he brings in the Medrash Rabbah that says that where did the Jewish people merit to say Shema for Matan Torah and receive the Torah from Hashem? Because Hashem said, Shema Yisrael, hear O Israel, Anoichi Hashem Elokecha, I'm God, your God. So the Jewish people said, yeah, Hashem Elokeinu, you're our God. Then when Hashem said, Lo Yilecha, you shouldn't have any other gods. So the Jewish people said, yeah, Hashem Echad, there's one God. In other words, when Hashem said you shouldn't have any other gods, which means, God forbid, idolatry, we said, no, we have one God. So what when we say one, what we're trying to say is that there's no idolatry, God forbid. So the first insight in Echad means there's one and nothing like it. But we still have to understand what that means. The second insight in one is that there's one and there's no idolatry. We have no other idols. We have one God, period. Okay. The third insight is it's that Hashem Echad is a mitzvah on its own. What is that? What's the mitzvah? There's a mitzvah to create yichud, the oneness of Hashem, which is from the verse, Shema Yisrael Shem Echad. And what does that mean, that's one? That there's no such thing as a partner. In Hebrew it's called, there's no shittav, there's no partner. So again, just to recap, the first insight is, there's one, there's nothing like him. So the question is, what do you mean, there's something like him, we have to compare, and we're saying there might be, and we're saying there's not. The second insight is that what? No, there's one Hashem, and there's no idolatry. And the third insight is, there's only thing that exists is Hashem. Yichud, the only thing that exists is Hashem. There's nothing that exists. So what are we excluding? There's no partnership. There's no partnership in this world. There's nothing else that exists. What does that mean? Derek explains like this. That when it comes to the children of Noach, they are not instructed to on Shittuf, on that concept about there's no partner, according to the Ramah, in Erechayim, etc. Even though a non-Jew is instructed not to have idolatry. Because we know that the first human being that Hashem created, Adam Rishon, he was commanded it on it. And like it says, Vayitzav. And what does Vayitzav mean? Tzav is the expression of idolatry. However, when it comes to partnership, he wasn't instructed on that. And who is instructed on level of partnership? That's only for the Jewish people. Now, so what we're saying is like this. When it comes to idolatry, no one's allowed of idols. No idols. When it comes to shittuf, which is a higher level, that's only the Jewish people, not the Bnei Noach. So now the question is, what's the difference between idolatry and partnership? Idolatry is avodah zarah in Hebrew, and partnership is shittuf. What's the difference? Let me explain something like this. Avodah zarah means, you call it elekad elekai, which means, God, we only have one God. But then there's a God of all the gods. So certain people feel like a piece of wood is their God, and Hashem is the God of the piece of wood. or those that worship the sun. The sun is their god because the sun comes up every day, and God is the god of all the gods. So obviously, what does avodah zarah mean? No, it's idolatry. We only have one god. The sun is not god, and the wood is not god, and a piece of metal, and whatever you think isn't god. In other words, and the verse that says Rama Kol Goyim Hashem, Hashem is obviously great and high over all the nations, and it says Al Shemayim, and the heaven is His honor. So what does that mean? So they say that Hashem is very, based on this, Hashem is very, very high, but where's His honor? Al Shemayim, in heaven. However, when it comes to creations in this world, and you know, simple creations, so it's like a disgrace to say that that's what Hashem is. And that Hashem is micromanaging it. And basically what the idolaters explain is that no, Hashem has created the world, but He doesn't micromanage this world, and He allowed this world to run based on the stars and the sun and the moon. They're the ones in charge. And according to the way they explain, so the creation of the world, how does creation of the world work? We explain the way Hashem created the world is Yeshmain, something or nothing, therefore Hashem is constantly recreating it. They explain Hashem created the world in the way of Ilav Olol, cause and effect. So when you deal with cause and effect, so obviously there's a level of a relationship between the cause and the effect. And therefore, what do they explain? That the heaven, which means the creations on high, okay, that's something which is appropriate for Hashem to micromanage and take care of. But the things that got created from there, which are basically low level of creation, that's not for Hashem to be busy with. And therefore, Hashem let the earth and everything in it for the stars and the sun and the moon to deal with it. But the fact is, we know it's not true. Because in other words, even though Hashem is very, very high, very separated, but never let mashpili b'shmayim v'aretz b'shava Hashem, there's no difference heaven and earth. Because if you want to look from a level of it's lower and higher, even heaven is a downgrade to Hashem. Why? Because we don't say creation comes something from nothing, from ilav al cause and effect, but because if you wanted to say it's cause and effect, how can you even create the infinite worlds? Because how is it possible to go from infinite to finite? Obviously, if you're going from infinite and you want to create something, there has to be a symptom of contraction. Because the light that is even in the essence of Hashem is not even considered light. Like the Zohar says clearly, Lav in the Harim, it's not light. And like the author explains in Tanya, of the analogy of light and the ray from a sun, that it doesn't have the right even to call it light. So therefore, even the revelation of the Kav, which is the line that comes in from the infinite part, after Hashem decided, after He created the empty space, that's called Yeshmiyayin, something from nothing. Why? Because in its source, it's nothing. And like the author explains at length in the Kutei Torah and the Chassidic Discourse, Tiku, in the footnote there. So in other words, so therefore everything that comes from Hashem, whether it's higher or lower, compared to Hashem, it's nothing. And therefore, just like Hashem is in heaven, where it's nothing technically, He's also down in this world. So how much more so the creation of the vessels and the world, which you can't compare to Hashem. And that's one of the reasons why Adam Kadmon, which is a very, very high level, is called Adam of creation. And not in the general world. Why? Because over there you already have vessels. And it is a creation, something new. And even the Ramak, in his classic works of Sefer Alima, he says that if you take, for example, this physical world, and you, which were Yolam HaAsiyah, and you go up to the world of beforehand, Yetzira, Bria, to Asiyah, etc. So, you just like from the physical world of Asiyah compared to Keser, it's infinite. Keser is the essence of the crown of Hashem. That's where all the energy comes from. Once, and it comes down through Tzum down to this world. So how much more so you can compare from even from Keter, which is a very high level, compared to the infinite part of Hashem. And if you give a look in the Pardes, which is another classic Chassidic works, and he says over there that Keter, as high as it is, that's the source of the vessels. Because from the infinite part of Hashem, what was created, the light. And from Keter, which has the power to carry the infinite light, and it gets concealed, that's where you have that's where the source of the vessel started. And like it says in Kunei Zohar, that the infinite part of Hashem is on the inside, and the Keter is on the outside. In other words, what's the point? That even the greatest levels, compared to Hashem, it's nothing. When you're dealing with infinite, whether it's this physical world, whether it's Yetzira, Bria, whether it's Atzilut, whether it's Keter, whether it's Ein Sof, they're all, you can't compare the two. And just like the verse says that in heaven, which again is after Tzimtzum, that is the honor of Hashem. So the same thing also, this physical world, Hashem's divine presence and Hashem's divine intervention, He's involved in every single thing. And like it says in the Talmud of Chulin, that when he saw, and he said, "Oh, your judgment is very, very big." And when he saw something very, very big, he said it's very, very big. And he saw a little ant. He said, "Wow, your judgment is also very big." In other words, what does that mean? That it doesn't make a difference whether it's big or small. Compared to Hashem, it's all the same thing. In other words, an ant has the same great energy as something very, very big. And you can't go ahead and make judgments and say, this is bigger and this is smaller. So in other words, and this that the author brings, the Reverend Shmuel brings, a response to those that say that divine providence is only on mankind, because the fact is that even in the fish in the sea, there's judgment. And there's judgment and there's retribution for those that deserve it. It's not only on humans. And in Medrash, he actually brings that even a bird, that without Hashem telling it what to do and when to do it, it doesn't do anything. Because there's a heavenly voice that goes out and says, do this, do that, go here, go there. Now, and this is what Chazal actually tells an interesting story in the tractate of Avodah Zarah, on the verse that says that the human being should do like the fish in the sea. And he explains it this: just like the fish in the sea, you have fish in the sea. You have the bigger ones and the smaller ones. Who consumes who? The bigger ones consume the smaller ones. So the same thing also, human beings, who consumes who? The bigger one consumes the smaller one. But even though that's because technically, look, this one's bigger, so it's consuming it. This one's bigger, it's consuming it. No. The fact is, it does not happen unless there's a judgment from Hashem, because the fact is, everything works based on the way Hashem wants it to work. And the proof is, because we see from human beings, and by human beings agree that everything happens by divine providence. And that's why it says we should always pray for the peace of the kingdom and the rulership and leadership, because if you didn't have proper leadership and proper rulership, people would swallow each other alive. And because this happens exactly the way Hashem wants it to happen, so even though it's going to happen, but nevertheless, you have to pray. Why? Because that's the way Hashem wants it. You're going to say, why should you pray for leadership? It happens the way Hashem wants it. It's true, but Hashem also wants us to pray for leadership. But the point is that the fact is that Hashem does involve in everything, but He still wants us to pray for leadership. On the other hand, those that worship the sun and the moon and all the different celestials in heaven that Hashem didn't command and they don't believe, so they're taking away Hashem's divine providence from the earth, and they're saying Hashem left the earth. And on this, Adam HaRishon was commanded, no. You have to remember everything in heaven and everything in earth, it's all coming from Hashem. So in other words, till now what he explained was, what's idolatry? Idolatry is thinking, God forbid, there's another power that controls things. As if Hashem is in charge of the heaven and the earth is left up to mankind or to the sun and the moon, the stars, however you want. It's not so. Everything that exists, Hashem is running it. And there is no difference to Hashem, to the infinite Hashem, between this world, the lowest level, to the highest level. That's idolatry. And that's the second thing. Echad, we're all commanded on, is not to have idolatry, not to think that anyone else runs anything else. What was the third thing? The third thing was, no, there's no shit, there's no partnership. What means no partnership? He explains like this. We know it says in Talmud that when someone is born, there are three partners. Who are the three partners? There's a father, there's a mother, and there's Hashem. And Hashem, and the Talmud says what each one gives. What does Hashem give? Hashem gives the soul. But the fact is, if you have the father and the mother, Hashem giving the soul. So you're going to say, what's the main thing? The main thing is Hashem is giving the soul. Because the proof is, if the minute the soul leaves the body, guess what? The part of the father and the part of the mother lays there like a rock. In other words, even though you have the vessel that can hold the intellect, you still can't think. Or you have the eye, that through the eye you can see, but you still can't see. Or you have the ear, the body, of the physical body, you still can't hear. Everything becomes, it doesn't work. And even in the part that the father and the mother give, the main thing is the part that Hashem gives. Like it says clearly, ain't sur kalakena, is no strong like Hashem. And how do we translate it? Ain't sire, there's no, if someone that shapes like Hashem. That Hashem goes ahead and creates every single part of the human being and every single part of the world. And even the ability to give birth comes from the infinite part of Hashem. Like it says clearly in the Torah, Zachar in a cave of Baram, Hashem is the one that created. Hashem gave the blessing. And like we see literally, that many, many people, for natural reasons, they have no, there's no reason why you can say, why can't they can't have children? So why didn't they have children? And the answer is, because the only one that has the key for a child ultimately to give birth is because it comes from Hashem. Now, nevertheless, so even though in the three partners, father, mother, and Hashem, we see the most important partner is Hashem. He gives the soul, and even the part the parents give goods, comes thanks to Hashem. But the father and mother are still partners. And it's actually a commandment in the Ten Commandments to honor your parents. Like it says clearly, Kabe Sevicha V'Simecha. So why is that? Because the reason is one reason only. Because the parents were given the gift of Bechira, they have free choice. And like Ben Azai said, he was supposed to get married, to have children. They said to Ben Azai, why aren't you getting married? He says, what do you want from me? My soul is yearning to learn Torah. So knows he made a choice not to get married. So the fact is, even though everything comes from Hashem, but any child that's born, the father and mother made the choice to have children. And that's why they're called partners. So again, so the partnership is only the fact that they chose to get married and to agree to have children. Not that they're really creating the children, but without them, there's no children. Now, so that's what a father and mother, where they have choice. And they're choosing, they have the option to choose or not to choose. So what do we see from here? Something that doesn't have freedom of choice and does what it has to based on a force, so the way Hashem is making it happen. So therefore, you can't even think of the concept of a partnership. When it comes to father and mother, yeah, there's a partnership, but it's only partnership because, again, we need you to choose to have children. But not like you're making it happen. But someone that doesn't even have freedom of choice, what kind of partner is there? And like, for example, take the earth. You plant seeds in the earth, and all of a sudden wheat comes out, or a tree comes out. So when you plant the seeds in the earth and it rains, guess what happens? The tree, the wheat comes out. And the earth doesn't have choice and say, you know what? I'm not producing wheat today. I'm not producing a tree today. Why? Because from the power of the ability to grow from the earth comes from where God says, Tachei Aretz. God said that the earth should give forth. And therefore, when you plant, it's going to grow. It doesn't have a choice. Or like the verses, that the sun is going to shine. And so the fact is, it's not that the sun is choosing or the moon is choosing. Like to say that the sun shouldn't shine. It doesn't have choice to shine, not to shine. Or to say that the sun shouldn't give off heat. Or the light of the moon shouldn't make it cool. So even though the fact is, without the earth you can't have produce, and without the sun you're not going to have the ray, and without the moon you're not going to have what the moon to produce is. But you can say it's a real partner. It's basically like the expression is "kagarzim yada chaytziv." If someone's banging down a tree and he has a hammer in his hand, so you're doing it through the hammer, but the hammer has no say. Or if you're taking any type of tool and you're trying to cut out rocks from a mountain, so you can't say that the tool is a partner in your work. It's the person doing the work. So the same thing also when it comes to the sun and the moon, everything in the heaven, all the stars, etc., they don't have choice. They're just basically a tool in Hashem's hand. So therefore you can't say it's a partner. So on this level, that you can say anything's a partner, only the Jewish people will command it. Like it says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Echad, there's only one, the only one that exists that's partners in creation is Hashem. And the Jewish people are commanding that. Then the children of Noach, the Nanj, weren't commanded. Like it says, Ki Yatzin Gvulas Amel Mispanei Yisrael, in other words, that Hashem specifically gave this mitzvah to the Jewish people. And there was and from Yaakov came out 70 souls. In other words, so the energy they receive is from the 70 nations. But only from that's where the nations, that's where the non-Jews receive that power, from the 70 nations. But the Jewish people is Chelek Hashem Ame, we come from Hashem. And we are commanded not to create any partners, and not to make anyone a partner in anything. And like it says clearly in the Torah, V'yadata hayom yishanot today, what do you have to know? Ki Hashem hu Elokim. That the Yudkei Bavkei, the infinite part of Hashem, that's the point that creates everything. Einoi, there's nothing else. There is nothing in this world that exists other than Hashem. And like the verse says, Ru'u, give a look, Ata, now. Ki Ani, referring to Ani, I am Hashem. Ani, who, I am the one. V'ein Elokim imadi. There's no gods with me. What does that mean? There's no partnerships. So what comes out from here? When we're negating partnership, that when it comes to a father or mother, we said they're a partner limited to what they have the choice to be partners. So therefore you have to honor them, because the fact is, without, they didn't choose, you wouldn't be here. But to go ahead and negate the partnerships from the stars and from the other mazalot, that they don't have any choice, and they have no partnership, so therefore there's no reason to honor them, and there's no reason to give them any credit, and therefore there's no reason to go a step further to give any credit to anything materialistic and physical that you're busy with. Because the only reason why it exists is because godliness that gives it its energy. And the physical thing is only a vessel, that through it should come the gift of Hashem. In other words, so therefore, what do you need? You need that the vessel should be 100% a proper and kosher vessel. And it should be befitting to receive the blessing of Hashem. And you shouldn't get totally engrossed and involved in it. And you shouldn't put your head into it. What does it mean, your head? Your intellect. And you shouldn't get confused. And what should you be busy with? If it's not material, what should you do? You should learn Torah. You should pray. And basically all your effort should be in godliness. And in the materialistic things, it should be the godly intent that through the materialistic thing you can do a mitzvah. And you can bring up your children in the way of Hashem. And by doing that, you're bringing in the revelation of Hashem Echad, the one God, which means no partners. And me, and you should have the revelation of Hashem in this world. Now, what does that mean? He explains like this. In the Zohar, he asks a question. The verse we quoted before, it says, Ru'ata, give a look now, because I am Hashem, and so Ru'ata is looking now, right now. Anihu is referring to the future. So if that's the case, if it says you want me to look at the future, why does it say look now? That's question number one. Also, first it says twice, Ani. In other words, now it says once, Ani. Ani Hashem, I am Hashem, your God. But in reference to the future, it says, Ani, Ani, who says twice. Why does it say twice? Twice, Ani. Now, so obviously there's twice ani, because obviously you need to unify the two anis. And that's why it's ani and nihu. So what are the two, what is the twice when it says ani? So I'm first and I'm last. So the question is, why is it when it comes to the future, we have to have two anis, two I, and we have to unify them, versus the present, we only have one ani? So Rashi will explain this by first giving an introduction. In short, the source of the difference between Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden, there's a concept of the Garden of Eden, and the world to come. What is the world to come? It's the world when the dead are going to be resurrected. Okay, so we have the Garden of Eden, and then we have the world to come, the future, when the dead are going to be resurrected. So the Garden of Eden, what is that? That is the pleasure of the souls without bodies. So again, so the Garden of Eden is what? The pleasure of souls without the bodies. And there's actually different levels in the Garden of Eden. There's the Gan Eden Elyon, the high level of Gan Eden. There's a lower level of Gan Eden. Now, even though there's multiple levels in Gan Eden, and like we mentioned before, the quote that a Torah scholar doesn't have rest, not in this world, and not in the world to come. Why? Because you're always going from one level of Gan Eden to the next. But generally speaking, there's two levels. Similar to like the concealed world and the revealed world. And in every one of these levels, there's many, many floors, many, many levels. And there are some souls that their whole elevation is in the lower level of the garden. And they don't merit to the higher level. Why? Because it's a whole different level. So in the Garden of Eden, again, it's a place where the souls are without the body. There's different levels in the first garden. Some people will stay in there. Some people go to the second one. And obviously, there's multiple levels. That's the Garden of Eden. Olam Haba, the world to come, is one level. There's only one level. The world to come is one level. And like it says, Kol Yisrael Yashayim Chaylokam, everyone has a place in the world to come. Now, even though it says that every person is going to be burned from the other person's abode, but nevertheless, it's one level. Not like the Garden of Eden, which is two levels. But the world to come is a place where the soul is going to be in a body. Okay, so before we go forward, just to recap. So Rebbe is explaining like this. There's two levels in Gan Eden, and in Gan Eden there's multiple levels in each level, and they're the souls without the body. There's the Olam Haba, the world to come. There's only one level, and there the souls are in the body. So the question is, why is it that there are souls that in the Garden of Eden, more than 3,000 years? Like, for example, the patriarchs, Moshe Rabbeinu, they're going to, and we said in the Garden of Eden, they're the soul without the body. So, and they're there for several thousand years. But nevertheless, they're going to have to come back and put on a body when we have the resurrection of the dead. Wow. Why is it that the souls that are in the Garden of Eden, two levels, level after level, souls without a body, are going to have to come back and put on get back in a body? Why is that? Because the idea of the Garden of Eden is the place where the soul has tremendous pleasure learning halakha, Jewish law, spiritually. In other words, those halachot that we learn, those law that we learn down in this world, for example, two people holding on a talit, a garment, arguing, or someone's exchange two types of animals. So over there, how do they learn it? They don't learn on a physical level. They don't have garments. They don't have a par and a chamur. So over there, they learn on a spiritual level. And they comprehend it, the essential part of it. And that's why it says they're enjoying the ray of the Shekhinah. And obviously, it's a tremendous joy. You can't, it's infinite joy. But on the other hand, the revelation that takes place in the Garden of Eden, that happens by learning Torah down in this world. Because with the mere fact that in this physical world, you learn Torah, so yeah, you learn Torah, then when you, after 120, you merit to be graduated, and you learn over there, and you comprehend Torah in the Garden of Eden. Like it says clearly, Ashrei mi shebala kama talmudei biyodi. What does that mean? So if someone that in this world, he learns Torah, so you come to Garden of Eden, they take, oh, you know what you learned in this world? That simple thing? We're going to take you to a whole different level. And as whatever you learned in this world, so then you're going to have a greater revelation of what you learned. But if you didn't learn anything in this world, what are they showing you? What can they help you with? However, The revelation that takes place in this world comes through the transformation in this world. And what happens to Garden Eden is only a byproduct of this world. And it's not only from learning Torah, but it's because of the transformation that we're transforming through the power of Torah. The same thing also when it comes to mitzvah. From doing a physical mitzvah with something materialistic, and it gets transformed. And that's why it's called in the future the day that's the whole day Shabbat. Because basically, why is it compared to Shabbat? Because how do you have Shabbat? You have to work for 6 days. Like it says clearly in Talmud, Misha Tarach Be'er Shabbos, Yechem Shabbos. You want to eat on Shabbat, you can't just show up on Shabbat, you want to eat 6 days a week. You have to work, you got to buy, you got to shop, you got to cook, you got to prepare. Then you can enjoy Shabbat. And it's by doing the work for the 6 days of the week, then and you fulfill what it says, Sheish Yom Tavid, 6 days you work, then you're going to enjoy. The same thing also, the revelation in the future, when the day where it's all going to be Shabbos, that comes after doing our work in this world. Now, from this level of high level of pleasure, so what happened is it fell down when the vessels broke, and that's how this physical pleasure is here. It's a high level of pleasure. It broke the vessels, so it came down. That's how we have pleasures in this world. Now, the Talmud says there was two rabbis, Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Akiva. And when they saw this big town called Rome, so it says Rabbi Gamliel cried. Rabbi Akiva was happy. Why did the two rabbis see the same thing? One's crying, one's happy. Why is that? So Rabbi Gamliel cried because, oh my gosh, Rome is so beautiful. Obviously, these holy sparks fell from such a high place down here. So he was crying that the sparks fell down here. And Rabbi Akiva was laughing. Because if the people that don't listen to Hashem, look what they got. They got this beautiful Rome, this big present. How much more so? People that listen to Hashem, we're going to get even greater presence. But the point is, what is it from? It's literally from a shard, from a breaking piece of a high level pleasure. And like it says, v'chol krovei Hashem katshoi, what does that mean? That there are certain angels that are called krovim, that they go ahead and they transform this flow. Or like, for example, the part that we transform, the kerbayim, the innards that we have in our system, that transforms the food, and that from the better part, that's the part that we get energy from, and it goes to our brain, and it goes to our heart, and the waste obviously gets pushed out. So the same thing also, the angels, which are called kerbayim, just like we have kerbayim within them, we have the innards, that they're called kerbayim, they go ahead and they transform the flow, and obviously the negative part gets pushed out, and that's how you have material, physical pleasures. And all the elevations down here gets elevated to on a higher level. And that's basically the godly angels that are oilim v'yoydin. They're going up and down on the ladder. What ladder? The ladder of learning Torah and prayer. And like it says clearly that the Jewish people down here, what do? We're transforming and we're refining the junk that came out from a high level pleasure. And that's the reason why the soul comes down here, to go ahead and transform and refine the physical pleasures. And the goal is to bring it back to Hashem, to bring it back to godliness. And by going ahead and transforming it, we go ahead and create Yisrael Na'ay, we create a greater light that comes from the darkness, because we're bringing in that it should light into the darkness, the revelation of the infinite part of Soviet Klama in there. And that's the general difference between what? The Garden of Eden. Like we said before, there's different levels. And there's no, the soul doesn't have a body. Versus Olam Haba, which is one level, and there the soul does have a body. Why? Because the revelation of the Garden Eden comes from where? Interesting. It comes from a Malikalam, the part of Hashem that fills the world. And that's why, because it fills the world, that's why in the Garden of Eden there's multiple levels. And like we know, when Malikalam means, yes, it's division. This gets more, this gets less, etc. And since it's the light of Amalek, the one that fills the world, so that it shines in there and it reveals what it is. And obviously, it's a tremendous a pleasure. And like it says, it's better to deal with all the challenges of this world and come to the world to come, because it's worth all the pain and the suffering of hell. And as we know, that the pain and suffering that Job had for 70 years, you can't compare to the suffering of the of Gehenna, purgatory. But nevertheless, it's worth it, all the suffering, just to be able to get to the lower level of the Garden of Eden, and how much more so if you can get to the higher level. Why? Because you're obviously reaching a very, very high level of pleasure. But the fact is, and this is so revolutionary, even the highest level of Garden of Eden comes from where Malach Klam, the part that Hashem fills the world. And therefore, because the part that fills the world, the soul is there without a body. Why? Because what's Malach Klam? It's the light that fills the vessel. So it knows you need the vessel that can receive the light. So based on the vessel, that's how strong the light is. Or based on the light and the revelation, that's what type of vessel gets created. And the truth is they're both correct. You know, based on the vessel, that's the kind of light you can receive. And based on the light, that's the kind of vessel it creates. But the point is, the vessel has to be able to receive the light. And the body is not a vessel to receive the light of Malach Klam. And therefore, so therefore in the Garden of Eden, so the revelation as to what the soul's without a body, because the body can't receive it, and the soul can't give it to it. However, the world to come, what's going to be revealed? The revelation of Soyev Klam, which is much higher. And when it comes to Soyev Klam, there's no difference. And therefore, there's one light. And even though it says, well, each one's going to be burned from the canopy of his friend, because even obviously in Makkah there's differences, but the point is whether there's difference or not, it's still one level, and that's what he calls it's one level. Therefore, in Olam Haba, it's one light. It's Soiviv. It works for the body, and it works for the soul. And if you can have the soul with the body. And like we know, when it comes to Malach Klam, when one that fills the world, there's a difference between higher and lower, different levels, and in what level they are. And that's why in the Garden of Eden, there's different levels. It's higher and lower. However, when it comes to Soiviv Klamim, even though, again, there's different Soiviv for different situations, but in essence, it's really one. And therefore, the revelation of the world to come is going to be specifically where for souls with the body. Why? Because the Kansum Kabbalah, it says, not Tchilosim B'Soifam, that the end is wedged in the beginning, the beginning is wedged in the end, and it was specifically in the end of the action. That's what was originally in the Hashem's original thought. Because the ultimate purpose is, what's the intent? That in the physical world, in the physical body, it should refine itself to accept the infinite part of Hashem. And therefore, the materialistic physical body has a connection to Soiviv, to infinite. And like it's explained elsewhere in the explanation of the Yavi Lubish Malchus, and in the garments, that has the power to receive the greatest light. And therefore the revelation in the future is going to be specifically where? A soul coming back in the body. And on the contrary, the main revelation is going to be into the body, and actually the soul is going to receive the body. And like it says, look at Lent in the Chassidic discourse of Eilat Tolus Noach of Tafresh Lamed Zayin. So in other words, what's Rebbe explaining over here as follows? A revolutionary idea. Even though the Gan Eden, you think it's, oh my gosh, it's the Garden of Eden. But guess what? Because from Malach Klam, there's different levels, you can only receive so much, and the body can't be there. It's actually a negative, the body can't be there. However, when the Olam Haba, the body could be there because it's Soiviv. And that's why the souls, even though they sent thousands of years in Gan Eden, where they're coming back? They're coming back souls and body, because the ultimate goal is that the body should be able to receive the light. And that's why it says Ani. Ani who? It says twice in reference to the future. Ani is basically referring to I am first. And the Ani Achroin, and I am last. In other words, Ani Rishon, I am first, is referring to Soiviv Kalalman, the part that hovers over. And Ani Achroin is the part that Hashem fills. So now there's only one Ani. What's the one Ani today? The one that fills. However, Mashiach comes in the future, we're going to have both. Because we're going to have the part that fills, and you're going to have the part that hovers over, and we're going to have the union of twice, it says, the Ani, because you're going to have the revelation of Soiviv. It's going to get internalized in the lowest level in action, in the level of Malchus. And that's why it says, Ru'ata, see now. In other words, because even though, again, today we have the revelation of Malach Klam, Mashiach comes, you got Mamali and Soiviv. But what creates a preparation for it? That is now, because when we go ahead today and we're busy going and transforming, that's why in the future we'll be able to have both levels of Mali and Soiviv. And there's one understand that based on what it says, in reference to the angels, it says, Srafim One of them are called Srafim, and one is called Ephanim. What is a Srafim? Srafim means literally to burn. But what does it mean? That the angel of Srafim say Kadosh. Hashem is holy. And what do they reach? What do they comprehend? And what do they feel? They realize how the infinite part of Hashem is holy and disconnected. Disconnected. Why? Because the Srafim are connected to which world? The world of Bria. Like it says, the Bina sits in the seat. So therefore they comprehend and they connect to the energy, way the energy is only a ray. And the way Hashem is what? Is Kadesh, he's holy, is disconnected from the world. And that's why it says the Srafim Oindimimalay, they're standing on top of Hashem because they comprehend the energy. Like it's Akhtar explains in Tanya, Sefer Shalbein, in the first part in the fifth chapter, in reference to the laws of Torah, that Torah is makif and it hovers over. So when you understand it, obviously you're totally surrounds you at all. And those, even though the halacha is the wisdom of Hashem, which obviously you can't comprehend, but basically when you comprehend it, you're basically hovering around it. So the same thing also when it comes to Srafim, because they're able to comprehend their energy, so therefore they stand above it. So that's Srafim. Srafim, they stand above it because they're able to comprehend it. On the other hand, when it comes to Ephanim, V'chayis HaKodesh, it says Barash Godil, where a tremendous noise. Why? Because they don't comprehend it. Because their energy is from which world? Not the world of Bria, it's the world of Yetzirah. And that, in the world of Yetzirah starts already at the tree of knowledge of good and bad. So therefore, it conceals. And they don't have a comprehension of Kadesh. And how much more so they find him, which is already a lower level, the world of Asiyah. And over there, the concealment is much greater. Like it says, Behina Oifon Echad, the Oretz. So what the Targum says, unfortunately it's bad because there's a lot of concealment. Like the author explains, look at the Torah, Parsha Zinu. And that's why they're screaming so loud. And through them creating all the noise and the screaming, they actually bring down actually a higher level. And that's why they say, Baruch Kvod Hashem Mim Koimoi, and which means from his place, he's obviously much higher because they're able to bring down the level of Kavod Hashem, the honor of Hashem from its source. And how much more so they can bring down the pleasures down into this world that really conceals. And they conceal of the intent of Hashem. And because the fact is, in everything there's a godly intent. And the fact is, the materialistic world covers up over it. And the general world, which conceals godliness. And that's why there's a tremendous noise and screaming. Why? Because it bothers him that you're in this world. And you're living in a world that there's a lot of concealment. And the same thing in himself specifically, because he thinks about his situation that in order to receive the energy from Hashem, it has to be in a level of concealment. Even though we don't want there should be concealment, and we should be totally given over to godliness, and in everything we do, we should have a proper godly intent. And by having the proper godly, you create more light into the world. And like it says, when someone that does tshuva, someone that returns to Hashem, so about tshuva, you bring much greater energy. Like the word of the Zohar, b'chei l'yatir. And like it says in the place where about tshuva stands, even a righteous person can't stand. Why? Because he's coming from a place where it's far from Hashem. And you awaken the internal part of your soul. And the same thing also happens with the rash, with the screaming. Well, what are you screaming about? What are you excited about? What are you campaigning about? The fact that it's concealment, and the fact that we're far away, and therefore you have to make more noise. And like it's interesting is, he says the noise that you make is the same rash as noise. It's the same letters as what? As shara gate. And that becomes your gate to Hashem. Because the gate on the right, and there's a gate on the left. So the gate on the right is the gate to Hashem. The gate on the left is the level of here, which comes, you get obviously from external connections, and like for the here that comes from the intellect. But the fact is that and when it comes through there, it comes, it's very, very little, and it comes through the skull. But when they cut it, you don't feel it. Why? Because you have a total disconnect. So in other words, what do you see from here? So now that we have this introduction, that basically a Srafim, they connect it, they see it, and therefore they're totally connected. And they're but on the other hand, the Afanim, which are further away, they scream because they're screaming of the disconnection. So basically he explains the parables as follows. He brings a verse where it says, in the prophet, which refers to the hair on the that has like the locks of hair on the head. So he says, "Elu tili tilim shalachos." What does that mean spiritually? It's referring to all the Jewish law. What does that mean? That when you have the hair, which is all connected one to the other, and you want to go ahead and disconnect them, and you want to have clarity, Jewish law. What does it mean? So what happens when you go ahead and you take it apart and you come to clarity? Your soul gets out of elevated to what level? The level of sa reisha kamar noka, which basically the hair in the head, which is very, very pure. And like it says, he brings from a Chassidic discourse of the Alter Milchut Torah, of the start ki yom zei chaper aleichem, the second one. And but nevertheless, even though you do it, it's a level of Cyrus, which is here. What does that mean? Because we know that Torah comes from where? From Chachma, the highest level of Hashem. And the ray of Tainug is in Chachma. And it comes through the mazalot, and the here of the what it says because the abak yoinik mazalah chachma noitzer. But the fact is, it comes from the right, which is obviously an open gate. And like it says clearly in the prophets, anani v'merchav ka. You want Hashem to answer you with a tremendous open border. And as we want to have the abundant merchav atzmi, the abundance of the infinite part of Hashem. So how do you reach the greatest places? How do you reach the tremendous abundance? That comes min ametzah, when you call Hashem from the depths of your heart, and then anani v'merchav ka. So you want to reach anani v'merchav ka, you have to go min ametzah. And like it's brought down and it says that when you scream and you're campaigning from the concealment, that the materialistic world is creating concealment, and when you do a mitzvah, for example, like for example, you're putting on tzitzit, which is done with physical strings, or you're putting on tefillin phylacteries with physical hide comes from an animal, or you're blowing the shofar from a horn of an animal, which is again materialistic, or you're making a sukkah where the covering is physical coverings from the, or you take the four species with a lulav, which things that grow. But the fact is, from the mitzvot you create the greatest abundance. Why? Because you create huge vessels to receive from the highest level of the infinite part of Hashem. So before we go further, what the Rebbe is saying is like this. You have two extremes. On one hand, we know everything comes from Hashem. On the other hand, the more the concealment, in the concealment, you have the greatest blessings. Why? Because when the revelation is there, you're half asleep. When the concealment is there, that's when the rash comes out. I don't want to be in a concealed place. I don't want these physical things. I want Hashem. So when it's revealed, you have Hashem, so you don't want it. But when it's concealed, that's when you want it. And that's why now he brings it back full circle. Now we'll understand when we comes to the idea of we have the mitzvah, the third echad. What was the third echad? Not to create any partnership. So we're commanded not to create a partnership. And that means even when we're involved with materialistic things, we don't think that the materialism is anything. The only thing I want, the one I connect to, is godliness. And when you do that, you're creating a greater light. If you have just light, you have light. But when you look at the darkness, and you're dealing with materialism, you say, no, I want the light. It's a much greater light. And like, for example, here's a beautiful analogy. We have an eye that we look out of. So when you look out of the eyes, you have the white and you have the dark. Where do you see? From the white or from the dark? You see from the dark part. Why? Because from the dark is the greater light. And the same thing also, the greater light comes from the darkness. And we do our work today, and we find the light in the darkness, that's preparation for what's going to be like in the future. In the future, the infinite part of Hashem is going to be revealed in the physical world. And like it says in the Medrash, in the future, it's going to be Hashem himself. And like it says in the verse, "Atu hu Hashem levadecha," you are Hashem yourself, and knows the level of who and Hashem is going to be on the same level of only Hashem. What does that mean? That when we go ahead and we transform the light of Toyu that inherits, and we inherit the light of Toyu, so what we actually bring in from the infinite part of Hashem, which is even higher than Toyu and Tikkun together. Why? Because when it comes to the creation of Toyu, what was the purpose? The purpose was in order to destroy it. And when you destroy Toyu, it was in order to build. And when you go ahead and transform of Tikkun, you actually bring in from the infinite part, which is higher than Toyu and Tikkun. Because in its source, it was in the level of Adecha, only Hashem. And it's going to be like what's going to be like in the future. Only Hashem. And that's why it says, Ani hu, ve'ein elokim imadi, and I am the one, and there's no other partnerships. There's no shutfus, there's no partnership with Hashem. In other words, we have yachid, just the oneness. One, chad, just one. And no, there's no counting, there's no numbers. What does that mean practically? We're totally negating any partnership down this world. And that's what's going to be like in the future, in the level of yachid, the oneness. And that's why Hashem says, you have made me one in the world, Hashem Echad. What does that mean? There's no idolatry. There's no other, no one else is ruling the world, which is, that's totally rebellious. But also there's no other partnership. There's nothing in this world that exists other than Hashem. And what does it mean practically? Not to think that materialism, that's the source of your livelihood, because that's totally disconnecting from Hashem, God forbid. And you shouldn't think of it as anything. And the way to deal with it is to realize that yes and no, it's all the same thing. And that means negating any partnership. And when you negate any partnership, you actually bring down the oneness of Hashem onto the level of Antu Chad. Hashem is the only one that exists. Now, so now the Rebbe says, now we'll have to explain, what does it mean, the first insight we said, that Hashem is one and there's no other one. So we said, why would you even think there's something else? You have to say there's no other one. And the Rebbe explains as follows. Because it says, Atuhu Hashem Yisechel Yitamu. You and Hashem, you can't count the doesn't end Hashem's the days. But one second, how can you say in reference to Hashem that his years, which because years is time, which is finite, and the Hashem is infinite? So I mean, you're telling Hashem your years that there's no end. What kind of years? And what does it mean that lo yitam there's no end? It's a contradiction. If it's years, then it is an end. And if it isn't, then why are you saying years? So he says, he brings from the Rashba, explains, since a human being is finite, so we don't understand infinite. What do we understand from infinite? It doesn't have any shape or form. We can't understand infinite. And just like we don't understand the concept that there's no place, we're sitting on place. We exist in space. What does it mean there's no time? We exist in time. So just like we don't understand that there's no such thing as no time or no space, we don't understand infinite. That's what the Rashba says. And therefore it says, Shnei Secha, that just that a person comprehends, the way we comprehend, and we say there's no end. In other words, it's not a vessel like that we're able to explain it. So we use it like to give us a way that we can handle it. Or like I said, we give the expression, Einei Hashem, the eyes of Hashem. Hashem doesn't have eyes. Eiznei Hashem, Hashem's ears. Or Tina, please listen to us. Or keep your eyes open. Hashem doesn't have it. So that's what the Rashba explains. But according to Chassidus, they explain totally different. And we know that Zman, time, which sphere is time connected to? The time is connected to Malchus. And like it says, Malchuscha, Malchus Kalalamim. Malchus, that's the kingdom of the whole world. And your rulership is in every generation. That the past, present, and future is connected to Malchus. Like we say in the prayers, Melech, Malach, Yimloich. And that's why the day of Hashem is, we call it 1,000 years. Why are we calling it 1,000 years? Because it's single digits. There's tens, and then there's hundreds. Now singles, tens, and hundred is connected to the world of Bria Yetzirah Asiyah, and thousands is connected to the world of Atzilus, and which is which part of Atzilus? Malchus. But that's all that we're saying. So ones, tens, hundreds. That's Asiyah, Yetzirah, Bria. Thousands is in Atzilus, and we're in Malchus. But the fact is, higher than that, there's no time. There's no thousands. But you can say that even though there's no time, you can't say it doesn't have the source for time. From there comes time. Because the fact is, the infinite part of Hashem, just like he has the power in infinite, so he has the power in finite. And what means in the firelight? In the vessels of the ten sefirot of Atzilus. And that's the finite part, which is initially in the world of Atzilus. and which is basically it's the word of the name of Hashem of Shin Dalad Yud, and what's its source? That's basically the Hashemah, the empty space, and that's the power of finite of that exists in the infinite, and that's the source of the vessels. And like it says elsewhere, in the explanation of Yitzhavim of the Hasidic discourse in Tuf Kuf Zayin Samach Zayin, but it comes to the name of Hashem. What do we know Hashem is? Haya Hay V'Yek Echad. What does that mean? Past, present, future. That's the infinite part of Hashem. And because from the name of Yudke Vavke, so therefore the worlds have infinite part literally. So in the world from Yudke Vavke, really it's infinite. But through the name of Hashem Shin Dal Yun, that Hashem says the world, no, die, it's enough. So he created worlds that basically have finite existence. So from Yudke Vavke, it's infinite. From Shaddai, it's finite. But on the other hand, it says Hashem Melech, Hashem Moloch, Hashem Yimloch. And those the limitation of past, present, and future is obviously shining in the infinite part of Hashem, even in the infinite part. So therefore, the creation that comes from Malchus is, in a certain way, it's infinite. Now, even though what Hashem created is finite, and therefore there should be a limitation in their existence, but the point is they also have an infinite part to it. And like, for example, think about how much inanimate things there are. How many trees, how many grasses in the world, how much fruit, how much wheat. Really, go count me up how much land is in the world, how much trees, how much wheat. You can't. Why is that? Because even though it's finite, it's a piece of earth. It's a tree. It's a fruit. It's wheat. But there's infinite, because on one hand it's finite, but on the other hand it has the component of infinite, which is shining through which sphere? The sphere of Malchus. And that's why it says, there's one Hashem, there's no one like Hashem. And there's nothing that it has that can unify two opposites, finite and infinite. It's almost like in Kabbalah it says, Nimna Hanim Na'ot. It is and it isn't. That's the only one that can do it is Hashem. There are those thinkers that say that the infinite, there's a nature that exists. Or for example, it says someone's writing and not writing that Hashem has. But the truth is not that. Hashem could be, cannot be, he could ride and not ride. We don't understand how it works. And we see in reality that there's finite, like we gave the example. You have a finite piece of land, and you have infinite pieces of land. You have finite trees, but you have infinite trees. There's no limit. So it could be finite, it could be infinite. So what do we see from here? That in the power of the infinite power of Hashem, there's two opposites. You can have two opposites, finite and infinite. It exists and it doesn't exist. And that's where it says, Echad ein k'yotzubay. There is nothing like it. There's only one Hashem. And there's nothing like it, because anything else out there, it's either part of the finite or the infinite. There's no such thing as finite and infinite together. So that's the first idea of Echad. What's the first idea? There's one, nothing like him, which means there's only one that exists that's finite and infinite together. So now we have to understand, what does it mean, this one that doesn't exist by the Jewish people? What does that mean? And explain to this. Chazal tell us something very powerful. That Hashem puts on tefillin. Tefillin Hashem puts it on. What does it say in Hashem's tefillin? Ah, so it says over there, Mikam Chayisrael. There's no one like the Jewish people. Goyachad, one nation. And what does that mean, Hashem puts on tefillin? So we know Hashem is in the level of Zazer, I'm from the small face of six midos. And he's putting on tefillin means he's bringing in Moichin, intellect, into Zah. So when we say Hashem is putting on tefillin, what does that mean spiritually? What's happening in spiritual words? He's drawing an intellect, Moichin, into Zah, into the small face of the Midas. Now, Chazal tell us, based on the verse of Magid Var Liakov, knows what Hashem tells us to do. In other words, so what the simple meaning is, Hashem tells us to do, he does. But the other insight is that when we do a mitzvah, that causes Hashem to do it. In other words, when a simple Jew goes ahead and puts on tefillin down here in this world, you know what's happening? Hashem is putting on tefillin. We're causing Hashem to fall on tefillin. What does that mean practically, spiritually? So when we put on tefillin, we're causing Hashem to fall on tefillin, which what does that mean spiritually? We're causing intellect to come down into Zoh, the small face, the six midos, which is the four parshiyos of tefillin, which is Kadesh, Vahoyi Kiviyacha, which is connected to Chochma and Bina, and Shema, Vahoyi and Shemaya, which is connected to Das, which is split to Chesed and Gvura. So the spiritual tefillin is Chochma and Bina, which goes into Das, and Das goes into Chesed and Gvura. Or for example, when we put on tzitzis down here, Hashem is putting on tzitzis. And the same thing also, all the mitzvahs that anyone does down here, when you're doing it, you're forcing, so to speak, Hashem to do the mitzvah. And that's why it says to lishmar, is to observe all the mitzvahs, that we're causing the mitzvahs on high. So think about the praise of the Jewish people. That when we do a mitzvah down here, we're causing Hashem to do the mitzvah. Think about the power we have. Stop what you're doing. Put on tefillin. Hashem is putting on tefillin. Moichin in tazah. Put on tefillin. Hashem is putting it on. Kiss them. Hashem is keep kosher. Hashem is keeping kosher. So what does that mean? There's only one and nothing like us. So the Medrash says, based on what it says in the prophets, that chet chata Yerushalayim, that the Jerusalem sins. So the question is what? The idolaters don't sin. Because when the idolaters sin, it's nothing. Because when they sin, it doesn't affect anything. They do a mitzvah, it doesn't affect anything. But the Jewish people, everything good that we do, even though it's not a mitzvah, we're actually drawing down godliness. And like the Zohar says, by Yenuka, that Sh'amalei chamina bereichad l'vashaychu, l'ikaris and krishma, that means, I smell on your garments that you didn't say Shema. Why is that? Because they were busy doing another mitzvah. They went to help a colleague get married. And through that, they draw in that energy that you do through Krishna. Of Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Which means it's the union of Ava Eim, the Chachma and Bina, and the union of Zer Ampin and Nukva. And the same thing also when you go ahead and help the union of Chasan and Kala, so you create that union on high. And like it says clearly, Ish the Isha, so they both have Aleph Shin, the Ish has the Yud, the Isha has the Hay, so together it's basically the union of Yud Hay, and then you have God between them. And that's why we make the seven blessings, because you have God between them. And even something which is not a mitzvah, if we do it for the proper intention, we actually draw down godliness. And like, for example, when you get put on clothes, you say b'shasli kartzarchi, because when you put on your shoes, you're actually drawing in how beautiful the shoes are, which is, we know that on the spiritual matat is called the shoes of the Shechina, and sending a sandal, etc. And like it says, Alter explains in the Kutta Torah, in the Chassidic discourse of Mayaf Mecha, which is basically the separation that separates between that Tzil Sambya, which is basically the chuppah on the feet, which is Malchus, to create the finite world. Now, so what does it mean? You know, so even though that in the shoes there's the beauty, and you want to create the revelation, it comes through the shoes, and you're able to do it. And like it says in explained at Lent in the Hidruch Ben Olim, etc., that even things which are not a mitzvah, you're able to draw in godliness. So we have when you do a mitzvah, you're sure bringing in godliness. But even when you don't do a mitzvah, and who can do that? Specifically the Jewish people, like the Medrash says. And that's why he says, Echad en kiyotzvah. There's one and no one like the Jewish people. Why? Because we have the power when we do a mitzvah or we do anything good, we cause goodness to come down in Hashem and comes down to this world. How is that possible? Because Hashem chose us to be his nation. And that's, we know that Hashem chose us, that's in the essence of the soul of Jewish people. Not because of learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. No, Hashem chose us. And because Hashem chose us, we have the power through our mitzvahs to bring in the mitzvahs from Hashem. And everything that we do with the proper intent of Hashem, even if it's not a mitzvah, we actually draw down godliness. Why? Because we are one nation in this world, in that are involved in the materialistic world, and we call out Hashem in our mitzvah. It means from the lowest places, we call out Hashem, Anani v'merchavka. Hashem will answer us from what? From the abundance of the infinite part of Hashem. And that's why it says, Mayim Rabim, the vast amount of water cannot extinguish the love, and all the streams of water cannot stop it. What is the extreme amount of water? It's referring to the meditation and the comprehension and understanding. All that cannot take away the love and to satiate the godly soul. And all the Naharot, all the revelations of the highest level of Gan Eden, the high level of Gan Eden, the lower level of Gan Eden, that will not stop it. Why? And because we have the tremendous connection with Hashem on the deepest level. And even when the Jewish people are in a very, very low state, like the verse says after, Zachos Le'Noktana, that we don't have a lot of mitzvot, and we don't have a lot of merits, and the nations are saying, hey, the Jewish people are sinning. No. When we continue going ahead and doing mitzvahs, physical mitzvahs, and we do it with a simple intent, we're doing it for Hashem, we reach the most greatest abundance, which is higher than any revelation. And therefore the meditation, and even the revelation of the Garden of Eden, that can never take away, and cannot drown down the love of the Jewish people that we have to the essence of Hashem, because the fact is over there, that's the source of the Jewish people, because no one can comprehend the thought of Hashem. And even the level of the Machshava HaGdumah Da'aka, very, very high level, the only way you can connect is by learning Torah and doing mitzvahs. And like the Altar explains, and therefore, all the big waters, which is all the nations of the world, and all the streams, which is all the nations of the world, and all their officers, they cannot go ahead and stop the love that Hashem has for the Jewish people. And like the Targum and the Medrash says, even with sinning, but guess what? We don't pay attention to that. Why? Because Hashem chose us. He chose us as being the Jewish people, because our source is in the essence of Hashem, which is higher even than the source of Torah and mitzvahs. And just like when a child, when it doesn't do what the parents want, you don't go ahead and scream at them, you don't get rid of them. Why? Because children, the essence is connected with the essence of the mother and the father. In a place that all the details, all the rules, all the discipline, it's irrelevant over there. And the same thing also when it comes to the Jewish people. Our source is in the essence of Hashem. And therefore we don't pay attention and we're not doing anything perfect. And even if so, those say, yeah, we're going to be like the nations of the world, like what everyone does. No. Not the Jewish people. Hashem says, even though I'm going to take you with a strong hand, I'm going to be the king over you, I'm going to bring you, and we're going to reunite the bond, and v'yadatem kinei Hashem, we're going to know that I am Hashem. And Rebbe finishes up beautifully, and he says as follows. V'yitein lahem ish, it's referring to Hashem. Hashem is going to give you from tremendous abundance all the treasures from his house. And with chachma, you're going to build a house, and with understanding, you're going to connect, and with das, you're going to make all the rooms, and you're going to fill it up with all the treasures. And Hashem is going to give us all the spoils of the war of Melchamas Goig. Why? And he finished off beautifully. Ki didan notzach. Because we were successful. And Rebbe finishes off b'mheira v'yameinu. Very, very quick in our days through Mashiach Tzidkenu. Obviously, you have a very, very powerful Chassidic discourse here with a lot of powerful ideas. Let's finish off like Rebbe finishes off. We are connected to Hashem in the deepest level. We have the power in the lowest places to do mitzvot, to learn Torah. And through that, we bring in the greatest energy Hashem through Hashem into this world. And like Rebbe finished off, we're going to have our real success. And with coming of Mashiach, and let's hope and pray, we have the coming of Mashiach. The next class will be in Yerushalayim, Mir HaKodesh. Have a great and blessed week. Shavua Tov.